And we'll be back with more with Marianne, Ghostbuster, lots more spirit talk on Coast to Coast AM. Marianne, when you talk about the light, what is the light? What is beyond the light? Have they ever described it to you?
I know that they can see earthbound spirits at their casket, can see people in there that have crossed over. They can't talk to them, but they see them motioning them to follow them in. I think that a lot of people describe it the same way that people that have had near-death experiences describe it, as a very peaceful, comforting place that they really don't want to come back from. They really want to stay.
Is it heaven?
I think it's whatever you perceive it to be. Heaven, crossing over, the other side, eternal rest, out of here, over there, you know, whatever. I let any spirit into that light. That can be a nice spirit, an ornery spirit, a killer. I decided a long time ago that it's not my job to decide who goes into that light. It's my job to make it and release them. But I truly, with my belief system, I truly believe that somebody is standing there with a clipboard deciding where everybody's going.
Right on the other side of the light bulb, right?
Mm-hmm. But because I can't believe that everybody goes to the same place, even though the light is available for everybody.
I mean, when you go through it as a spirit, you know, there have been artist sketches of a light with dark not being evil, but just dark spirits, mm-hmm. kind of like in the pathway. They're there to greet you. Mm-hmm. You meet loved ones. Is it really like that?
You know, we lost in Ohio from one of the marine places here, 15 soldiers this.
Yes, yes, you did.
Past summer.
Sad story.
And I went to all but three of their funerals.
On your own, or were you asked?
No, I was invited. I never go to a funeral without being invited.
All right.
And it's really crazy. The one Marine, his grandfather was dead, and his grandfather happened to be a Marine also when he was alive. And he said he could see in there, and he said, "Oh, my God," he said, "you should see what Grandpa has assembled for me up there." He says, "Every Marine that my grandfather ever knew was all in uniform waiting for me. They're all saluting me."
Is that something?
Now, he could see in there. He couldn't talk to Grandpa yet till he got there. But he could see what was waiting for him when he got there. I thought that was really pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So, but for everyone who crosses over, that experience is different, do you think?
I do, because I think everybody, depending on what kind of life that person had when they were alive, I think people walk into that light sometimes with a lot of trepidation. You know, it's like, was I good enough? Was I bad? Was I too bad? Should I have done that? And I think everybody has questions. I'll tell you, some of the greatest funerals I've ever gone to is walking into a funeral home and walking up to a spirit and saying, "How you doing, bud?" And here they were an atheist, didn't believe in anything. And there they are standing.
If there is a light to go into, on the other edge of the sword, is there a darkness, a hole where the evil people tend to go?
Like I said, I've led murderers into that light. That, to me, is a pretty bad person. Now, I would like to think, like the movie Ghost, that there is a black, sessy, oily pool where the nasty, nasty ones come up from and go back to. But I've never seen it.
You've never seen it.
No.
Well, why do you let evil ones into the light, for crying out loud?
Well, I don't. I'm letting a person into the light, a spirit of an earthbound spirit into the light. Again, I'm not a judge or jury. Even though if it was a person that was convicted of doing something nasty, who am I to say I can't make the light for you? You can't go into it.
Once they get in there, then, what do you think happens to them?
I really think they're judged before they get in, and I close the light, and I make light of it, but I really do believe somebody is standing there deciding what the fate is of that spirit.
So you think they keep them or they send them on somewhere?
Mm-hmm. I think there's different avenues, different ways to go. Yes, I do.
As you started as an 8-year-old, did you evolve? I mean, did you learn more as the years went on?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, where did 72 to 80 hours come from? I mean, you know, but over the years of talking to spirits, it's like, well, how long was your light with you? You know, what happened to it? It's experience, and you just put this experience in, you come up with, well, on an average, that light's going to last 72 to 80 hours. And you do. I learn something. I mean, in a week, I probably learn 10 new things every week. Things that I didn't even know, wouldn't even guess was possible.
So when somebody is on his way into the light, and let's assume it's not their turn to die, Marianne, some of the spirits, will they try to convince them, go back?
You mean people that are having near-death experiences?
Yes.
Yes, I believe that's exactly it. I believe that it's not their time to die.
Is there an entity there that refuses to let them go through the light, or is it more of a convincing procedure?
You know, it might be a little of both, or it could be, you know, somebody that was just putting, you know, giving you a good reason, you still have two small children at home, you know, something, some reason for you to go back. It's like somebody's there, you know. And I think there are people that have crossed over. I don't believe those are earthbound people telling you to go back. I think these are people that are from the light that are telling you.
Now, where does this universal oneness, let's say God, where does that fit into the equation with bringing entities into the light or into the darkness?
Well, I think if you throw God into the picture, he's always told, I mean, the teachings, the believings are that we have free will. And why would we not have free will just because we die? So again, it's your choice whether you want to go that light or not.
Well, yeah, but if let's assume some guy's a serial killer.
Okay.
As bad as you can get, right?
Okay.
He dies.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying it's his decision to decide if he wants to go into the light and go off to this heaven, as we would call it?
Yes, it's everybody has the same choice.
All right, but what about that guy who's there with the clipboard? Can he say, look, my friend, you led a horrible life on Earth. You're not coming in.
And that's his job.
So what you're saying, though, is you can go through the light. That's
you
not
go
a guarantee.
To the light, right, and then you come to a point in that tunnel, in that walkway, where there is somebody standing that you have to be accountable to.
So it's not a free ride.
Oh, no, I don't believe that at all. No, because I've left too many people in there that I, in my opinion, were not nice people.
Did that bother you?
It did. It used to. It used to.
What do you mean it used to? What happened? What
changed?
Well,
when I was younger, I used to think, well, why is he going in there? Why does he even have the white light? I question that. I mean, this was a rotten guy that was a pedophile. What he did to kids and the white light is there for him. But then when I started seeing the white, it's the white light is there for every person that dies, no matter what kind of person that person was.
But as long as there's something there to block the evil, because there is a lot of evil,
right,
from getting to the other side.
Right, and I believe that there is, absolutely.
Right. Do you believe then in a hell?
I do.
All right, so,
and I don't know if I believe in fire and brimstone and, you know, in flames, everything like that, but I do believe that there is a very unpleasant place to go to as compared to, say, heaven. Yes.
And how do they get down there? Have you ever witnessed that? Have
No.
you ever been told it by any of these entities?
Mm-mm, no. Because once I see them go into the light and I close the light, that's when the next step happens, and I can't see that.
Every once in a while, we have someone who calls his show, Marianne, by the name of Oscar, who's either a whacked-out individual or a real evil entity. He claims to be the son of Satan.
Oh, my.
And, of course, that could take a number of different possibilities right there.
Right.
Regardless of who he may be, not a happy individual, evil all the way.
Okay.
What happens to him if he's alive and he dies? What has happened to him if he is truly an entity who has some ability to call this program? Why are they hanging around? Do they have missions? Does evil have a mission to capture the good?
Well, that's what we're told, that that's what their job is. To change us all over to their way of thinking and to be an evil person. So I imagine that's probably their job, exactly right.
And it's your job to keep the good flowing.
Well, I would like to think so.
How many people like you exist on this planet that have this ability, that do what you do? 5, 10 millions, hundreds, thousands? What do you think?
I imagine there's a lot of people out there that can do this, and by a lot, I probably around the world, probably a few thousand.
That's not a lot.
Well,
considering we have 6 billion people here.
Well, maybe a few thousand that admit to it. Maybe there's another few thousand that don't.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. Do you think we'll ever run out of souls?
No.
They used to call it the guff.
Yes, no, I don't think so, because I think I do believe in reincarnation, so I don't think we ever will.
Do you know what you've reincarnated from over the years?
Yes, I was regressed once, and because I was really curious, there was an issue in my life that I thought maybe I find an answer in a past life. And I was, I had some kind of ability in every life that I hit. I did have some kind of an ability to do something like I'm doing now, whether I was a psychic or a magician. It was very, very strange. And most of my past lives, I was a man, not a woman. I came back, which they say is true. I did come back with pretty much the same circle of people and friends. That hasn't changed. Roles were different as far as, you know, mothers, fathers, friends. But the sad part is I never found what I was looking for as far as, you know, answer to my question. But, yeah, I do believe that it happens.
You said right before the break that you have never come in contact with a child younger than 3 years old.
Right.
How come?
Because what good would that be for them to be earthbound? They're too young. They really don't know anything. I think a guardian angel, a grandma, a grandpa.
That they automatically just
somebody comes and gets them, yes.
They're
whisked
away.
And the few three-year-olds that I ran across spoke really well. So I think that's probably why they stayed.
Now, you think these souls then, regardless of age, when one dies, 3, 15, 100, do they all get reprocessed and come back, or just some of them?
I think it's your choice whether you come back or not.
So it's not forced upon you?
No, no.
See, I always thought that you'd come back in order to reach perfection. Maybe you just weren't good enough.
Right, but see, if you die and you're at, say, level 10 and 20 is the top, you may be content at 10 and you don't need to come back.
Now, there's a person who then, using that phrase, who's a 10 instead of a 20, will he be in a different plane, a different level, or will he be up there with the 20s?
No, he would stay at that level until he came back and achieved a higher level.
If he wanted to come back.
If he wanted to, right.
That's interesting. So there is free choice all the way.
All the way around.
Why do they take our memory away? our pure memory where we don't remember our past lives in our current life?
Because you couldn't remember. I mean, you couldn't function in this life. It's like even when you choose to come back, you basically know the kind of life you're going to have. You know how long you're going to live. You pretty much know how you're going to die. You couldn't go your whole life thinking, oh, gosh, when I'm 72 years old in 3 days, I'm going to get hit by a bus.
Yeah, but I'd want to know what I did right and what I did wrong in the old life.
Yeah, but then how can you honestly correct it in this life if you have... That's like a big cheat sheet, you know?
Well, yeah, it's like Cliff Notes and columns.
Right, right. And if you're, and if it's pure and you're supposed to do it honestly, then you have to want to do it right from the very beginning in whatever life you're at.
Just my luck, you try to buy off your soul advisor.
Right?
Tell me what I was like before I have to do this all over again.
I don't know what I was like before I have to do this all over again. The only thing I know for sure is that I'm probably going to come back with the same mother-in-law.
Is she listening?
Wherever she is, she may be. I don't know.
Well, I would guess that on the level of being spiritual, you're pretty high on the old pecking order.
Oh, see, I don't think that's necessarily true. I really don't. I think that the job I do is pretty weird most days, but impressive other days because not a lot of people can do it or a lot of people talk about doing it. But that doesn't make
Not a lot of people want to do it.
Exactly, yeah. Right. But that doesn't necessarily make me. It's just, you know what? This is just my job.
I mean, you one could say that you are a professional funeral goer tour.
Yes, I know. Yes, that's the truth. You're right. The one day I went to a funeral at the same funeral home, like almost six funerals right in a row.
At
the same funeral home, yeah.
People don't think there's something strange about you?
Well, yeah, I started getting looks after about the fourth time. Like, what is she doing here? But the funeral director kept realizing that I did know people there.
Does he recommend you to the families? Or does everybody know you now?
No, there are some funeral directors that do recommend me, yes.
I mean, are you like the professional mourner? What do you do there?
You remember wailers?
Yeah.
That's when they actually had wailers at funerals. No, I just, I tried to go in between, or I tried to go in the beginning, like a half hour before the service, before the regular viewing starts, because you know how people have to talk to their guests when they come in, and they don't have time to stand there and talk to me.
I've hired 50 people to throw their bodies on my casket when I go.
Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
And wail and cry.
I just want a Spirit in the Sky to be played a lot at my funeral.
Have you ever seen the light yourself?
Have I ever had a near-death experience?
Yeah.
No, I have not. Not on wood.
Are you afraid of dying?
Oh, no. I was never afraid of dying because I know you really don't die. When I had my first daughter and they put her in my arms, I remember looking down and thinking, my husband's a really great guy, but I really don't want his mom to raise my kid if I die. So I sort of said, please let me live long enough to see her grow up.
When your time comes, will you go straight to the light?
You betcha.
Not going to hang around, huh?
No, but I'm taking a long vacation before I come back.
All right. We'll be back with you in a moment. I'm going to open up Fast Blasts for some questions for Marianne, and also we'll talk with her about Ghost Whisperer on Coast to Coast AM. Well, the New Madrid Fault is now rumbling in the Midwest. 3.3 magnitude earthquake has just hit eastern Tennessee, 49 miles from Chattanooga, just a few miles from Athens, Tennessee. My, oh, my, oh, my, what a rumbling planet we are living on these days. We'll be back in a moment with Marianne Ghostbuster on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Marianne, someone writes and says she remembers when you used to even take ghosts out of donut shops, offices, and all over the place. They met you about 12 years ago. She's writing from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, yes. I do businesses all the time.
How did they find you?
Word of mouth.
Simple.
Yeah.
Do you still do a lot of crime scene work for police?
If they call, yes.
What are they looking for?
There's usually something that where they've, you know, stumped on the case. And the only way that I can help them, though, is if I can actually run across the spirit of the person that was killed. Again, not being a psychic, there's nothing I can do just by touching somebody's clothing or looking at a picture. I have to actually talk to the victim.
Have you ever had a murder victim spirit tell you who killed them?
Oh, yeah.
You directly like that?
Oh, sure. Sure.
And you tell
I can't go to court, though, and testify.
You can't say that,
no,
right?
No, of course not. But I'm usually the anonymous tip then. I have to be able to, I can tell the police who killed them, according to the victim. But I have to be able to also give the police, the victim has to tell me where they can find evidence to support that.
Okay.
Where's the murder weapon?
Yes.
The name, the kind of car, do you remember the license plate? Where's the person at? Can we haul them in and question them? What should we ask them? This type of thing.
Have you ever had to look at a mugshot of people?
Oh, sure.
And then have you identified the right person?
Yes.
Is that the spirit who tells you yes or no?
Yes, exactly. And surprisingly, the victim doesn't always know who killed them. You get in your car in a parking lot at 10 o'clock at night.
Someone
it's dark,
attacks
somebody's
you.
Sitting in the back seat. They knock you out at the next light. They take you and they dump you in water someplace.
Oh,
you drown.
What a way to go.
But when you come out of when your spirit leaves the body, whoever did it isn't anywhere around. So you still don't know who killed you.
That's a good point. And the spirit itself can't go find out, can it?
Of course not.
So it is subjected to the same laws of physics, I think, that we are. And
exactly right. You know, the movies have just blown this so out of proportion sometimes that everybody thinks that so much more can be done that can really be done.
Lots of things going on as you talk about movies and in television. Lots of things going on in this field on television these days. Medium, Ghost Whisperer, as a matter of fact. You're familiar with Ghost Whisperer, aren't you?
I am. I really am.
How so?
The series is inspired on my work.
Now, how did all this happen? Tell me.
Actually, I had met James Von Prague. And when he had his show, Beyond, mm-hmm. and he had brought me out to Oklahoma City to do a house with him because he realized, again, him being a medium, he could only talk to ones that have crossed over.
Right.
The problems that this lady was having also involved earthbound ones. So he met me, and it was always in the back of his head that this would be something, you know, really good for television. But he, of course, had television experience with his show and movies that he had done. And one thing led to another, and I was actually in California for 4 months with my husband because I was with another group of people that were trying to develop something. And when that didn't happen and the contract was up, he presented it to people he knew, and CBS really liked the idea, and here we are.
And it's on.
It's on. It is. We're 3 weeks now, and we've won the ratings every Friday night. It's really exciting.
Tell me the principle of the program.
A young married woman that owns an antique store. Husband is a paramedic. How about that? Two places where you're going to find earthbound spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to deal with living her life, being able to see earthbound spirits and helping them, you know, settle their issues so that they can cross over.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes. She's playing the part of Melinda Gordon. She's the little gal that can do this. And believe me, the only thing we have in common is we both have brown eyes. That's about it.
She does a good job on that show.
She does. She really does. And everybody on the show, it seems to be like a nice fit, a nice working fit.
Do you have fun doing it?
I do, as long as I had three things pounded in my head, because I am so living in Ohio and not California. But it's the first thing I heard over and over and over again was, "Honey, welcome to Hollywood."
Yeah. You were probably not too far from where we are right now.
I believe that's right. I believe, because when my husband and I stayed there for 4 months, we were in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. and then they're filming this on Universal lot right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
The second thing that I heard was creative writing. And the third thing is embellishment, embellishment, embellishment. It's fun because I see it on TV, but I get the script because I'm a consultant on the show, so I get all the scripts, and I sit here with a big red pencil going, no, 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 never, never, never. This would never happen. Can't happen. Don't do that. But then on the other hand, I have to remember this is entertainment, too. This is television.
How accurate is the program?
I would say probably 70%.
All right, and the rest is television. It's Hollywood.
Which is not bad.
Which you have to have, I think.
That's right. It's entertainment. You know, but I think people are still learning something from it, which I think is a really nice little slide it in the back door thing.
Why do you think people are so interested, you know, albeit by the ratings? You know, so you have programs all over that are in that genre.
Oh, I know.
Why are people so fascinated by this?
You know, I think people are looking for answers. And they don't know which way to turn anymore. And now that this is something that's acceptable to talk about, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you didn't talk about anything like this. Not, you know, mainland anyway. Somebody put you in a cookie factory somewhere. But now, you know, even if you don't believe in it 100%, there's always, well, maybe. And there's not a station anywhere anymore that doesn't have something on that has ghosts or spirits involved with it.
William from Arkansas wants to know if spirits have ever referenced end times to you.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, end times being, of course, the book of Revelation in the Bible.
Okay. No, I have run across religious people that have not crossed over, that were, you know, in like religious orders and that. But the bottom line is, everybody that I run across was human and lived in basically our time period. And there's still questions even after somebody dies, you know, what do you do? How do you do it? So, no, I don't have a good, you know, reference point for that.
Here's an interesting one from Kat out of Idaho. Wants to know if you use a pendulum to talk to the deceased. Oh, that's interesting.
No, I have not. I know people that do use pendulums, and I think they are...
It's like a Ouija board?
I was just going to say, I think they're a little safer than a Ouija board.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know why, though. Why is that?
Well, I think, to begin with, I think they're harder to use, which makes me feel good, because it means that people get, you know, disgruntled with them and they won't use them as much, because I think Ouija boards are too easy to use. But no, I've never had to use anything like that.
Mm-mm. Sherry, listening in chatting with the Coast Riders, our Streamlink members, she's out of Branson, Missouri, wants to know if you've ever seen Lost, and do you think these people are in purgatory?
I did watch it last season, and I thought, I like the writing, and I think it's a really, you know, nice show. I don't know where they're going with that. I guess I just clump it under entertainment.
So you don't think they're in the other side?
I wonder sometimes, and I've asked religious people if the spirits that I run across are in purgatory or hell. and they don't have an answer.
Amanda wants to know, out of Arkansas, if you've ever come across anybody of notoriety, a famous person, a spirit.
I have local in cities where they were, you know, mayors or gangsters or something like that. I would love to run across like Elvis or Marilyn Monroe or somebody like that.
But
I never have.
Does that mean they've crossed over?
I don't know. All I know is that I've never run across them. But
well, let me rephrase it. If they haven't crossed over,
uh-huh.
Could you find them? Is that a given?
I would have to go to their relatives' houses or a place that they owned at some point, or maybe a museum of theirs. I would have to go to some place where they would hang out if they were earthbound.
So you just couldn't conjure them up on your own?
No, I can't call ghosts. I don't know how to do that.
Telephone, Marianne. One of those Twilight Zone telephones.
Okay, find me one.
Can earthbound spirits, those that haven't crossed over, could they, do they, communicate with each other? That's Mark in Spring Hill, Florida.
You know, I can go into a house that can have three or four ghosts in it, earthbound spirits, and you would think they'd sit around at night and play poker or something, but they do not. As a matter of fact, under normal circumstances, they will not even go in the same room at the same time. And I don't know if it's an energy thing that they shouldn't be in the same room at the same time. And there's always exceptions. Kids spirits will hang out with one another. But then, of course, kids like kids, whether they're alive or dead.
I'm going to ask you to finish this one if you remember it. Michael from Cleveland, Ohio. I want to thank Marianne for helping me out in Southern Ohio in reference to my missing sister. I live in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a former police officer in the Cleveland area, and my sister went missing in 1979. Marianne assisted me in the summer of 2003. He doesn't go on to explain what happened. Do you remember that?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't. Sister missing. A lot of people call me with missing people.
Because I'm just wondering if it ended happily.
I don't know. You know, it's sad. If somebody has a missing person and they call me, it's almost like a double-edged sword.
Do you get that many calls?
Oh, yeah. If I can see them, that means they're dead. Okay? So you may not want to call me.
Well, maybe people need answers, though. They need closure, Marianne.
Yeah, maybe. Gosh, I wish I could remember. I'm sorry.
Ilian from Miami wants to know if there's any scientific explanation for all of this.
Mm-hmm. Not that I know of. I really don't know. Maybe somebody will, you know, take my brain apart when I die or something, but I don't really know.
Well, in light of that, Keith from Washington asks a question we answered. Are ghosts bound by the laws of physics? You believe yes.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
No getting around it?
I don't think so. I really believe that that's true.
Michael from Winnipeg, tell me about victims who commit suicide. What happens to them?
All right. Somebody that commits suicide, you know, again, and I'm going to refer back to Catholics. Up until 10 or 12 years ago, if you killed yourself, that was an automatic mortal sin. You died and you went right to hell.
That, according to them.
Correct. Okay, so now here there is a person standing at the foot of their casket that just killed themselves. There's the white light, but they're looking around, and gee, I'm not in hell. If I go into that white light, am I going to hell? A lot of suicides do not cross over for that reason.
They're afraid
they're going to be judged and punished for what they did. The church now, of course, has changed its mind on that. You're mentally ill now or whatever. I mean, it's not okay to do it, but they don't penalize you enough for it. But still, that's an old belief, and it's just not with Catholics. A lot of people, you know, you're not supposed to kill yourself. Suicide victims hardly ever cross over.
Do most of these entities know they're dead?
Yes. How do you not stand at the foot of the casket and look at yourself and know you're not dead?
Does it bother them? Are they panicked?
Depends on how they died. Depends on how the family is reacting to the death. Long lingering patients, long, you know, cancer, bad health, people that have been sick forever. Believe me, they are more than willing. They have no problems at all.
Can these entities that haven't crossed over go wherever they want to go on this planet? I mean, can they go sit in a ball game and watch a game? Can they go to a restaurant and hang around? Can they just do anything they want with a whim, with a thought?
Absolutely. Pure energy from here to there with no problem at all.
They get into these games for free.
For free. Absolutely. I've often wondered.
No wonder they don't want to move on.
Well, it's not only that, but it's like I go to these people's houses day in and day out, and I'm looking at these people, and I'm thinking, you're a ghost. Why are you hanging out in somebody's house? Why aren't you in Paris or floating through the Grand Canyon or being on top of the Empire State Building?
Enjoying your death.
Right. Why are you in somebody's house? But I think people are creatures of habit. You know, they hung out in houses when they're alive. They're going to hang out in houses when they're dead.
You ever come across spirit guides? Do you see them?
No, because they're ones, if you've got spirit guides, they better be from the light. So, no, and I couldn't see those.
Okay, what if a friend of yours passed on, didn't cross over, you're communicating with them, you see them, and all of a sudden you see this dark clouded entity ready to grab them. What can you do, if anything?
I would make the white light as fast as I could and try to get them to go into it. But then again, at the funeral, I would really, really try to convince them to go into the light anyway, because I think you are still better off going into the light than choosing not to. And I believe, no matter what, I'm a firm believer that good does and is stronger than bad or negative. White's more powerful than black, and as far as energy goes. And I really think that I have enough good energy where I can stand up to something that has negative energy.
Can people be trained to do what you do?
People can be trained to use the energy to their benefit. Now, whether you can see a ghost or not, that's something that I think you're either born with or you either have or you don't have. I can't teach somebody how to see a ghost.
Carol from Arizona says, I used to work at the Hollywood Palladium, and there are many spirits there. I had some experiences myself. Have you ever been asked to go there or any famous buildings, Marianne?
I've been into a lot of theaters, all over the place. I mean, from coast to coast, I've been in theaters. When I was in California, I did a lot of actors and actresses' houses, producers' houses, things like that. I've been in Europe, and I've done. Now, the castles in Europe, they like their ghosts. They make money on them. They don't want their ghosts to be gone.
No, they want them to hang around, don't they? Okay, stay with us, Marianne, because we want you to hang around for at least another hour, because we'll be right back, and we'll take phone calls now on Coast to Coast AM.